I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
That really says it all. Love God, save souls, and slay error. What else is there? My name is Jess Romero, the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm reporting for duty. What about my partner?
Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm reporting for duty. Jesse, today's show is very special because we're living in a crisis age. Let's just be honest. But what we're going to talk about, first of all, we're going to have a great quote and a poem read to us by Archbishop Sheen by himself when he comes in on that locomotive train. Also, we're going to be talking about a list of things that experts got wrong about COVID-19. We're going to also be talking about some of the media, what's going on regarding President Trump, who's saying what and why are they saying it. And another very interesting topic I hope to have a couple segments on about Catholics. Are they coming back to Mass? In other words, with all the regulations and restrictions of how many people can come back, a Monsignor wrote a beautiful article that I think all of us are going to enjoy. But Jess, we have a short gospel from the Mass today. I'd love to have you proclaim that for us, please.
Yep, very short.
Whole Foods.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Yep.
Matthew chapter, my gospel just flipped. Here it is. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove that splinter from your eye,' while the wooden beam is in your eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Very simple. A lot of people misunderstand this entire paragraph. There's one verse that unlocks the interpretation of this entire paragraph, and it's the word "you hypocrite." Here's what it means. Our Lord is not saying that you can't judge people, because he says elsewhere, judge with the right judgment. And St. Paul says the same thing in St. Peter. They tell us to judge people. St. Paul even says, heck, don't you guys know you guys are even going to judge the angels at the end of time? So what is our Lord saying here? If you're a hypocrite, in other words, get your house in order if you're going to judge somebody. Let me give you an example. Let's just say you're dad and you drink a 6-pack to a 12-pack every day, okay? And you're a babbling drunk and you're derelict in your duties as a father. And your 16-year-old son, you catch him in the backyard drinking with a bunch of kids. And you walk over there with a beer in your hand and you say, "Hey, son, what the heck's the," you know, with all these Tourette's syndrome, "what the heck's the matter with you? Put that beer down. Quit drinking," as you're burping and belching. That's what our Lord is talking about. Get your life in order first. Amen. So that you can correct others. And in fact, you're called to correct others. It's called the spiritual works of mercy, to advise, to counsel, to exhort the sinner and the doubtful. So we are called to do it, but we have to make sure our life is in order, living in a state of grace, not like the Pharisees. These guys were violating all kinds of laws and yet telling the Jews, "Hey, you got to keep the 613 laws of Moses." And these guys couldn't keep them themselves. That's what our Lord is talking about. Don't be a hypocrite. Live in a state of grace. Be holy so then you can apply the spiritual works of mercy to other people that need help.
Jesse, before we bring Bishop Sheen in, I just want to say last weekend, Saturday, Steve Ray gave a presentation, a bird's eye view of salvation history. About 1,800 people watched it.
Wow.
And if people want to get Beautiful. A copy of it, yeah, just call or go to our website at virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Also, I've been noticing about 1,000 people a week are increasing just on YouTube. And I want to welcome all you YouTube listeners and encourage people to like us on social media, because we are growing like a weed right now on the social media side. So I want to thank everybody who's promoting that. Also, Jesse, we've got Fulton Sheen coming in on a locomotive train. And this time, Bishop Sheen's going to speak for himself about I call it a prayer, but it's really a poem about our Blessed Mother. So if we could play that poem, I would appreciate it.
Take out
the lovely mission. Lady dressed in blue, teach me how to pray. God was just a little boy. Tell me what to say. Did you lift him up sometimes, gently on your knee? Did you sing to him the way Mother does to me? Did you ever try telling him stories of the world? And oh, did he cry? Do you think he cares if I tell him things? Just little things that happen. And do angels' wings make a noise? And can he hear me if I speak low? Does he understand me now? Tell me. You know, lovely lady dressed in blue, teach me how to pray. God was just your little boy, and you know the way.
Wow. I never thought I'd be sharing a radio show with Bishop Sheen in my lifetime, but Bishop Sheen, thank you so much. Your love for Our Lady is so powerful. He wrote a book called The World's First Love, and I know Ignatius Press does publish that. So, Jess, I thank you for that.
Yeah, let me mention something about this prayer. Mm-hmm. It every time I when I'm by myself and I'm looking at a picture of Our Lady of Grace who's dressed in all blue,
oh yeah,
I do this prayer and I just start crying when nobody's around, because this is the weapon, the most powerful mm-hmm. weapon against the diabolical.
That's right.
Saint Anthony of Padua says the two greatest weapons against Satan are humility and charity, caritas of God. And this is that virtue, humility, that underlies all the other virtues. And this is the virtue that conquers that diabolical pride that you're seeing right now when you turn on the television, and you're seeing right now in the streets, Terry, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, mine, tear down this statue, I want that TV. The diabolical pride of gimme, 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 mm-hmm. this is defeated by humility and fasting. Fasting and humility defeat the diabolical because it teaches us how to rely on God and to control our passions. And that's exactly what you see, or you don't see, Terry, right now amongst the rioters. They have disordered passions. They don't know how to control our passions. But humility and fasting are the two great weapons against Satan in the spiritual battle that we face. It's that prayer, Terry, lovely lady, on my evening prayers, mm-hmm. That's the first prayer that I pray,
beautiful,
my wife and Anita, before we do our other prayers throughout the evening, because that sets the tone. That's the prayer I do after I do the sign of the cross. I do that prayer because I want to ask Mary. I don't know how to pray. I'm full of myself. I got my own, disordered appetites and passions. So the first thing I do just to take custody of my mind and my soul and my passions, that's the first prayer that I'll pray at night. I'm just calling Mary. Mary, Mother, teach. I don't know how to pray. I really don't. Can you teach me? And once I do that prayer, the other prayers that I do for the next 15 or 20 minutes, they just flow like honey out of my lips, because I think Our Lady honors the fact that the first thing I said is, Mother Mary, please teach, because I don't know how to pray. And that makes the rest of the prayer time in the evening, to me, I really feel the presence of God, because, again, I started off by asking Mary, hold my hand, I'm going to go to bed tonight, and I need to pray for myself, my wife, and my kids. Hold my hand, because I don't know how to do this. And I think that's a good way to start the evening, Terry.
Absolutely, Jesse. Well said. I want to remind everybody, Bishop Strickland will be on our show tomorrow. Jesse will be out of town Tuesday and Thursday. And Bishop Strickland is going to be talking about the Holy Eucharist, something similar to what we're handling here today. Also, Dr. Ed Mazza will be with us on Thursday. Are we living the French Revolution in America today? That's his topic for Thursday with me. Also, I just want to remind everybody, I said last week, go to couponbird.com and search Catholic Resource Center and press join now on the seeding project. That's raising money for us right now for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You can get a discount and we'll get a percentage of whatever you buy. It's kind of like Amazon Smiles, but I would just ask you to consider shopping with Coupon Birds. Also, when we come back, we're going to cover something very important. The experts, what did they get wrong about COVID-19? Very interesting comments because, boy, did they get a lot wrong on that. And I also want to remind folks that if you want to get Steve Ray's overall conferences for the bird's eye view of the salvation history that he did on Saturday, call us 877-526-2151 or you can go on to line to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Also, Jesse, you've got a book. I just want you to give one more plug. The election is coming up. Could you please show the book that you have?
I'll be showing it every week until the elections.
Yeah.
It's called A Catholic Vote for Trump. You can get it from my website, jesseromero.com or Tan Books or Amazon. Mm-hmm. And this is a small, pithy book that shows you why everybody, left, right, or center, should be voting for this man again, because he is the greatest president for Catholics that we've ever had in my lifetime.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the experts, quote, experts, what they got wrong about COVID-19. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense. And common sense is not that common. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father Altier and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, Here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God.
Amen.
You know, I've often wondered that there's something fishy in Denmark about this entire Wuhan communist virus, COVID-19. Yeah. I've always been saying, what's this? Are people playing with the numbers? Are they ginning up fear? Who's behind this? Well, guess what? There's a young lady by the name of Liz Wheeler that on her Instagram, I think she works for CNNews.com. I think it's an evangelical Protestant news agency. She did a 3-minute explanation of everything the experts got wrong about COVID-19. And you're going to hear the fact is this is pure politics. This is pure political hacks that have been ginning up this COVID-19, exaggerating the numbers, exaggerating the statistics. Can you play the clip, Mr. Engineer? Okay.
No surprise. He's playing the clip in a second. No surprise.
1,300 public health officials admitted in a signed letter that the Black Lives Matter protests, crowds of people packed together, was not a COVID-19 threat. But the anti-lockdown protests was a COVID-19 threat. Okay. So clearly these public health officials, the same kind that forcibly mandated that we all stay home and close down our businesses and restricted our travel and forced us to social distance and quarantine for 3 months, even if we weren't sick, clearly they are radical leftist partisan hacks. So much for science. But here's the thing. We should have seen this hypocrisy coming. Because in the whole course of the COVID-19 outbreak, as pundits and politicians implored us to listen to the experts, listen to the epidemiologists, what have epidemiologists been right about? Have they been right about anything? I don't think so. They told us COVID-19 would kill 2 million Americans. Didn't happen. They told us the infection fatality rate of COVID-19 was 3.4%. It isn't. It isn't even close. They told us COVID-19 doesn't discriminate based on age. It actually does. They're still telling us it's dangerous to send kids back to school. It's not. Kids are more likely to die from the flu than from COVID-19, and they aren't significant carriers of the virus either. They told us asymptomatic carriers were unwittingly killing granny, but they weren't. The World Health Organization said asymptomatic cases are rarely transmissible. They told us hospitals would be overwhelmed and overflow, and we'd have to ration care. It never happened. It was never even close. They told us we'd need tens of thousands of ventilators. We didn't. They told us up to 80% of the population would need to be infected before we reach herd immunity. The real number is closer to 30 or 60%. They told us lockdowns were the only way to stop the spread of the virus. Not true. 60% of new hospitalizations in New York, according to data from Governor Cuomo last month, were people who were locked down and transmitted the virus intrafamilial. They told us the seed date of the virus was in February. It wasn't. In France, it was as early as December. They told us the reproduction rate of the virus was slowed by lockdowns. It wasn't. The reproduction rate was slowed by individual social distancing. And studies show the lockdowns themselves had little to no impact on the epidemic curve of the virus. They told us going to the beach was dangerous. It's not. Outdoor transmission is 18 times less likely than indoor transmission. They told us nursing homes must admit residents who tested positive for COVID-19, implying it wasn't a threat. It is. Almost half of all COVID deaths in the U.S. are in nursing homes. And now they're telling us that the recent spike in positive tests in Florida, in Texas, in Georgia are signs of a second wave of the virus. It's not. It's because of increased testing. Why should we listen to these people now when they've destroyed our economy, admitted their political hypocrisy, and been wrong about the science every single time?
Whether we believe in our capacity.
Wow. Terry, how can you top that? Talk about 3 minutes of crunched hardcore facts by Liz Wheeler, this young newscaster on, I think, some evangelical Protestant station. Good for her, Terry. See, we got young people out there that cannot be fooled, and they're not drinking the Kool-Aid, a lot of these young people. And it's pure facts that she just put out. What do you think?
I think it was fantastic, Liz. I've never met you, but I'd like to have you on our show often. She was really a fireball. But you know what, Jess? It just goes to show you, though, how facts mean nothing to a lot of our culture right now.
That's right.
It's all emotions And when you give people the facts about what's going on, it's like, well, who cares about the facts? And Jesse, here's one of the facts that just 60% of voters believe that some media want a shutdown to drag on the hurt to hurt the Trump campaign in November. In other words, out of 1,000 people that were asked the question, do you believe that there are some members of the media that would like to see the shutdown drag on as long as possible so that it hurts President Trump's chances in November? Most of those people said, absolutely. I mean, this is a political thing. Jess, I've actually done an unofficial survey when I'm in stores talking to people about the masks that I'm wearing. And 90% of the people I talk to say, yeah, this is a big joke. This is political. I say, I agree. This is, I mean, it's so ridiculous.
We all know it is, Terry. Everybody looks at each other and we just laugh when you're in public.
It reminds me of the story about the emperor has no clothes
on. That's right.
That nobody wants to acknowledge that this is not as serious as they say. Now, I don't get anybody wrong, Jess, when I say elderly people are dying in the rest homes. I get that. They die from pneumonia. But I just got off the
Terry,
phone.
But not in the numbers that the,
no,
that the
no,
media
no,
said.
No, it's fact. Well, Dr. Bumgardner, heart surgeon, told me yesterday, Terry, I'm so upset at our hospital. I get a gunshot wound. A guy, needs some surgery. He ends up dying from the gunshot wound, but he tests that he has also COVID-19. Guess what they put on the death certificate? He died of COVID-19 because the hospital got an extra $19,000 in insurance money from the government. See, Jess, that's just wrong, okay?
Terry, and I'm going to tell you something else that that is also spilling into society right now.
Tell me.
And I don't know where this is going to stop, but now we got these rioters. They're not protesters, Terry. They're rioters.
Yeah.
They're anarchists. And these rioters now, I think they want to rewrite history. And by the way, that's what communists did when they took over communist Russia. And in communist country, what they do, they burn the great books. They tear down statues of their tradition because they're trying to rewrite history. And that's exactly what's happening here in the country. They're taking down statues and monuments of people that are historically relevant.
That's right.
And the fact is, they're tearing down their statues saying, well, he was a flawed person. Duh. If that's a criteria, we can't have a statue of anybody because they're flawed people. The only statues we would have on planet Earth is our Lord Jesus Christ and Our Lady. Because apart from them, everybody else is flawed. And I'll tell you what really saddens me, Terry, is in your state, in the Golden State of California,
yep, twice.
They just tore down the statue of Father Junipero Serra.
In San Francisco and in LA.
And I'm asking, where are the bishops?
Yeah.
Where's Archbishop Gomez, Bishop Barron, Bishop Corleone, Bishop Barber? Where are the bishops speaking out against this? What are they trying to do? Rewrite Catholic history? Where's Pope Francis on this? I mean, he was just canonized a saint.
In 2015.
And so the fact is, this woman, Liz Wheeler, Terry, this young lady, she is spot on.
Yeah.
And the fact is, the media is complicit in all this. And I thank Brent Bozell, who, by the way, is a convert to the Catholic faith. He's got an organization called Media Research Center.
Yeah.
He's the one that's basically did the numbers, broke down the numbers, that 60% of voters believe that some media want the shutdown to drag on to hurt President Trump in November. And I'm going to tell you, Liz Wheeler said it. She was so spot on. You know, we get 10 to 50 people are allowed to go into a big church, or 25% or 35%. And you're supposed to exercise safe spacing and wear a mask.
Yeah.
And, you're supposed to jump through all these hoops. But guess what? If you're a rioter, if you're tearing down statues, if you're attacking police cars and tearing and looting and robbing and beating people up, guess what, Terry? None of that applies to you. The government, the Democrat government, will be quick to send law enforcement to go arrest 50 people inside a church because they're sitting next to each other. And, they'll exercise. They're like, hey, you're getting arrested for lack of safe spacing. But this same government, Terry, is just allowing people, just like over in Seattle, Washington, just commandeer 8 blocks of the city and calling it their own country and saying nobody's welcome here, not even the police department. They set up their own borders as well. I thought liberals were against borders, Terry.
Jesse, you're right. But let me ask you a question as a former policeman. Is it the mayor that tells the police, like the sheriff's department, not to arrest people for defaming statues in parks? I mean, the cops were there. Who gave the order, Jess? What's the line of command as a cop to see somebody doing damage like that? And in the old days, if you were a cop and you saw somebody doing that, wouldn't you arrest them, Jesse?
Yeah, but I worked under different sheriffs. Okay, I worked under law and order sheriffs. Sheriff Pitches, Sheriff Block. We have just a new mentality today. They've bought over to political correctness, and they've basically bowed down to their Democrat masters.
Okay, so that's giving the power to who's telling the police.
These Democrat
department.
City mayors.
Thank you.
Are ordering these police chiefs to stand down.
Yep.
And these police chiefs, they don't want to lose their job. You know, they get paid good money. It's a high-paid job.
Sure.
And it's an appointed position. So these guys are like saying, you know what? The mayor doesn't want us to do anything, so we're going to stand down. They're cowards. These guys are cowards. These guys, a lot of these police chiefs, they're just careerists as well.
Got it.
The street cops that are suffering because they're the ones that want to do the right thing, but they're afraid because if they do something, you see what's happening. They'll get arrested and get fired for putting their hands on one of these protesters and for use of force. So, Terry, yeah, this is a horrible situation. And the article that Brent Bozell that I'm reading from, it says here, the media at hard at work weaving a web of confusion, misinformation, and conspiracy surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yep.
And also, I would dare say, also with President Trump. I mean, there's one conspiracy after another. First, it's Russia. Then he's, you know, fornicating with Stormy Daniels. Next one, COVID-19. Now he's blaming him. He's saying he's starting race riots. The media, Terry, these guys are on overdrive, and the fact is, they're a very powerful force. And a lot of low-information Catholics, I dare say low-information Americans, that don't read beyond the mainstream media, if that's the only place you get your news from, you're going to get it wrong most of the time. You've got to go to alternate media like we are.
Yeah.
We're alternate. Terry and me, we're commentators. We comment from a Catholic perspective. We give our opinions based on Catholic thought, based on scripture and tradition. And so we're not a news agency. We're just commentators. But I'm going to tell you, Terry, the mainstream news agency cannot be trusted these days.
Absolutely. Just a quick note. One of our knowledgeable listeners just tells me Liz Wheeler is a devout Catholic. I love it. Isn't that interesting?
Awesome.
I love it. Hey, Jess, this is really amazing times that we're living in. I want to remind people, when you're out of town on Thursday, Dr. Ed Mazza is going to be being interviewed with me talking about, are we living our French Revolution in America today? So that's going to be tied into that. Also, Bishop Strickland, who's going to be starting a new show here at Virgin Most Powerful. Can you imagine, everybody? Bishop Strickland, the Bishop of Tyler, Texas. We're going to have his show once a week teaching you about the faith and also tackling some of the issues, but it's going to be a bishop. Now, Jess, you're a good guy, but you're not the bishop. You don't have a successor apostle connection. To have a bishop tell us exactly...
I'm the lowest man on the totem pole
when it comes to
Christianity.
Yeah,
I like it that way. By the way,
yeah.
I like it that way.
Well, they can't take your faculties away, brother. Hey, folks, when we come back, we're going to talk on this next two segments on a very important topic. A Monsignor in Illinois came up with this article called "Catholics Are Not Coming Back." Have you been to Mass on Sunday where there's maybe 50 or 60 people come, and you have to get a ticket and you have to do all these hoops that you got to jump through? Wow, we live in a diocese with over 5 million Catholics. My estimate is about 2% are showing up for Sunday Mass right now. When we come back, we'll talk about those numbers. I see the clock telling me we've got to take a quick break. Are we going to keep going? I see that. Okay, I'll keep going. Jesse, I see this article called Catholics, They Are Not Coming Back.
I was waiting for somebody to write this because you and me have been talking about this for weeks now.
Yeah.
And I knew.
Because we're creatures of habit.
Yeah, I knew this was going to affect the church very negatively, and finally this Monsignor, I think he nails it. So we'll start until our engineer tells us we're going to go on a break. So the Monsignor writes, they're not coming back to Mass. Let me say it again. Catholics will not come back to Mass when the pandemic is over. By the way, that's what I've been telling you, Terry,
for weeks. Of course.
Yeah. He says, I know parishes will say that their wait lists are full and that they're at max capacity for Sunday Mass right now, but that's right now. When we can only have 100 people or a congregation of 25 to 35% of a church's capacity, we priests have all heard the yearning of our Catholic parishioners to return to the sacraments. And we are gratified when we get the volunteers to sterilize the sanctuary and clean the pews after each celebration. But it doesn't matter. They're not coming back. For the hundreds, perhaps even thousands who wish to return, there are millions of Catholics who have grown comfortable in a Eucharistic-free faith. And again, that this is all, I'm going to lay this responsibility at the Pope's feet and the bishop's feet. It was all of the successors of the apostles that says, we don't have to go to Mass no more. Third commandment's irrelevant. They're the ones that are responsible for this, the article says. And they're going to stay that way. The silent majority of Catholics, the silent majority of Catholics doesn't miss Mass at all. In my diocese before the plague, we used to have 100,000 Catholics attend Mass each Sunday. People want to come back, but it is a fraction of that number. Do not let full reservation lists delude us into thinking that the silent majority misses the Eucharist. There are reasons for this. Here's my take. Terry?
Yes.
Third commandment, thou shalt keep holy the Sabbath day.
Of course.
That comes from God. Terry, there's nobody who can usurp that law. No man
That's
on
right.
earth.
That's right.
President, Pope, Bishop, Cardinal, nobody can. And yet, they did. And so the average person is going to say, hey, I guess it's not that important.
Exactly.
I guess I'll just stay home and just watch it on television if I even watch it at all. Terry, so they've helped Catholics fall even deeper. I mean, a lot of Catholics already wrestle with the sin of sloth, spiritual laziness. Guess what, Terry? Now it's on steroids because the lukewarm Catholic husband is going to tell his on-fire Catholic wife, honey, we got to go to Mass. It's open up, but we got to sign up and make reservations and wear a mask. The guy's going to say, you go. I'll watch it on television.
Exactly. And Jesse, I will add one more thought. This is not the article, but it's my take. When you have 80 to 90% of Catholics not believing in the real presence, you want me to go to church to receive something that's not real, that's just a symbol, and jump through some hoops? No, thank you. This is another reason with a poor catechesis where people aren't motivated to get back. Now, Jesse, I'm going to continue the article, but I will give a comment. Local parish came to my chapel. We talked about their parish and how the pastor is telling them, look, just go on TV. We don't want people coming to the parish anymore. Just do it on the phone. We do all this, you know, that way, and we'll keep you away. So only the people who have tickets that can come, maybe 60, 70 people show up on Sunday. This parishioner tells me she was a volunteer. Elderly woman comes into the parish on Sunday. This is a week ago. And she said, I couldn't figure out how to manipulate the computer. I'm not a computer. I'm 80 years old. But they said if I give my name, they'll have a record that I'm registered for Mass today. They come and say, well, you're not. You can't come in and get out of here. And the lady felt so bad. And the woman who was coming, she said, well, you know what? I don't think I'll ever come back being treated that way. Because remember, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. This is what's happening. We're treating people poorly by telling them not to come. Now, in the article, so that's my take of what's going on, and that's why people are not going to come back. But Monsignor says this, reasons for not going to Mass. First of all, before the pandemic, the silent majority of Catholics didn't go to Mass. So let me amend my statement, he says. The silent majority of Mass goers have quietly shifted away from a Eucharistic faith. They will still consider themselves Catholic, but in the church in America, it's about to discover the stripped-down small remnant of a Eucharistic church that, I might add, Pope Benedict XVI talked about in his 1969 radio interview where he said the church will become a remnant, and that's what's going on. He said there are many reasons, but there are also solutions. First, the reason why the majority of Catholics will not come back to the church is because many of them don't even believe. That's my take, Jesse. There's a conflict in the values of life. We're being sold that you can live just fine without God in your life. But on the other hand, as the Monsignor says, we have been told for health of society to forgo larger gatherings. It's for the best, we've heard. And so for the sake of many, we have given up the source and summit of the Christian faith, the Eucharist. On the other hand, he says, we know that our faith lives have to be dependent upon the Eucharist. We long for that as well. Now appear the bishops. Okay, I'm sorry, bishops, but we got a man up right now who cast their lot with secular authorities. No, let's not go along with the governor. Yeah, he doesn't have anything to talk about when it comes to worship. And he told us to give up the Eucharist for the sake of public health. Shame on them. I mean, Jesse, shame on them. That's not how we did it for 2,000 years. So this creates a crisis of values inside of us. And the majority of us who have seen the Mass as a countercultural are easily convinced that the better part of value is not to go to church. They couldn't if they wanted to because basically the present rules prohibit most Catholics from going unless they reserve their place at the Eucharistic altar like you would reserve, are you ready, a dining seat at a fine restaurant. As uncomfortable as they feel, they punt and they go with the public health option. Sad.
Terry, and what's, I'll tell you what's...
Tell me.
What else is sad when you get there...
Yep.
And he talks about it later on in the article.
Yeah.
You have a lot of these ushers who are not, they're not well, they mean well, but they're not well formed in their faith.
Yeah.
And they're mean.
Oh, that's
they're like,
right.
Get over here. Sit on over there.
Exactly.
Sit together. You're
I
too close.
It. Yep.
Put on a mask. Put on a mask. Don't cough. Don't sing.
Yeah.
And so for the Catholic that's just maybe getting back to their faith, they're kind of like, they're slothful. They're going to say, I'm not going to put up with this. Coming over here, having to sign up on the computer for a seat. Get in here and have some usher be barking at me while I'm inside here, you know, because I don't have a mask on or something. Again, that's going to just, like you said, Terry, people don't care how much you know until how much you care. Well, when you run across a mean usher like that, a person who just, you know, already tepid or lukewarm in their faith, that's all it takes for them to never come back. And those are the people right. You and me talk to. They'll say, so why'd you leave the church 30 years ago? Man, I went to Mass, and this usher just barked at me and embarrassed me in front of my wife and kids. And man, I stepped out of there. I haven't been back in 30 years. You and me hear that all the time. Terry.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Jesse, I will say this, that I met people who, like, for example, I get people that call me and say, I can't get to my parish because they won't let me in. And, you know, the church doesn't even have a crucifix. It's a progressive church. I say, dude, don't go back. I said, come on over to the Sacred Heart Chapel on Sundays. We got four masses now, and you can receive Holy Communion kneeling down on the tongue. We are on fire for the faith. 2 minutes on. Okay. There's several people on hold right now, Jess. So
yeah,
we'll get
them. Bring
them on. We will.
They want to vent.
Okay. We'll let them go. So here's the bottom line. If you want to have a sacred mass in Southern California, come. We have 3 o'clock in the afternoon every Saturday. We have confessions for 2 hours. Then we have a 5 o'clock vigil mass. Then Father hears some more confessions. Then on Sunday morning at 9, we have mass. But before mass, there's confessions. And Jess, I've got families that have 10, 11 kids pulling up in big vans in front of our church, and they're piling there. I say, get in that line. You're all the one family. Pile over here. We're putting them up anywhere we can. We're setting chairs up outside. Are you kidding?
Oh,
we're not going to say
Lord.
No.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Terry. That's awesome, dude.
No, it's just how it is.
Terry, I'm so proud of you, dude. I really am, man.
No, it's,
you know what? Because, Terry, during the Cristero movement, when the government shut down the churches, that was bad enough. But right now, Terry, this is worse than the Cristeros because you have the government and our church authorities going along with it.
Absolutely. Jesse, we've got several people on hold. Let's get them on board. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What is your name and what's your comment? Go ahead.
Is this for me? I don't know.
Yes, go ahead. What is your name, sir? What is your name?
I'm John.
John, go ahead, brother.
I'm from Kentucky. You know, I haven't heard for years and years anybody or any priest or bishop ever talk about the obligation of going to Mass.
Okay.
You know, under the pain of sin. So
mortal sin.
Do you really? Yes, that's right. Do you really think what bishop is going to tell people, well, you know, this has all been lifted, so now you need to come back to Mass? And you guys can laugh at me about this. I've been saying it for years, and I don't care who laughs at me anymore.
I'm listening.
One of these days, I think maybe now they're going to literally have takeout communion.
They already are doing that, brother. Mm. I'm not laughing. I'm telling you, that's already happened. I've already read about that. John, let me tell you one bishop who's going to set you straight. His name is Bishop Joseph Strickland from Tyler, Texas. We've got him on our show once a week. We're starting a new show with him, so keep your ears and eyes open for that.
But, listen, I'm in Kentucky, and I consider him my bishop. I literally do.
Well, good for you, John.
If he doesn't say it's okay, I'm not going for it. People hear that.
All right, John.
We've got it.
Yeah, John, I just want to thank you again. God bless you.
Yeah, he's
John's
a good man.
On fire. We just got another call coming in, and I'd like to see if we could take it before the break. Mr. Engineer?
Urbina Tafoya. Go ahead.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Terry.
Hey.
How you doing? It's Carlos.
Carlos, how are you, brother? What's on your mind?
I'm good. Hey, so, yes, another example of what's happening in Los Angeles.
Yes.
I actually live in Hawthorne, but this parish is located in Los Angeles. It's called St. Michael's Parish.
Mm-hmm.
They're not letting the kids come in to Mass. Anybody under 14 years of age, they say that they can't come in. So they're not letting them in, and they won't let them be even in the parking lot.
Self-inflicted wound. Are you kidding me? Carlos, thank you for letting us know. See, this is why we have to have a response. And I have a doctor friend, and this is, Carlos, check this out. He was at the hospital yesterday. Somebody was dying, and the family was Catholic, and the doctor said, "Have you got a priest to come in?" And they said, "Oh, no, we can't get a priest." So my heart surgeon friend gets on the phone, calls the parish for him, and says, "This patient's dying. We're over half a mile away from the parish in the Long Beach area. Would you please come and anoint this man before he dies?" And, of course, nobody would come. See, we just have to keep pushing and exposing this error with the truth about what they're supposed to be doing. Unfortunately, Carlos, priests don't know that they have a moral obligation to give us the sacraments lavishly. That's what the canon law says. So keep pushing is what I'm going to say. Jess, your thoughts.
Let Carlos go ahead. Go ahead.
So real quick, I have my family members, they attend that parish there. And before all this was happening, the priest there was like, "Hey," they reached out to the family and said, "Hey, we need your contributions. We're going to fix the church. We're going to do this." So they kind of, told them, we need your money, right? So then I went back to my family members and I said, "You know what? This is the way that you're going to get them back. And you're going to tell them, hey, you're not willing to give us our Lord Jesus Christ in the tongue. You're not willing to receive our children. Then you're not going to get anything from us."
Well said.
So, good. Good job.
That's another way, to do it.
Yep.
And, yes, if you guys want to go to Mass, go to the Sacred Heart Chapel. We were there yesterday.
I know who you are, Carlos, now. That's right. I saw you with your boys and your wife. God love you, man.
Yes. So, yes, we have to stand up and we have to fight. And, things are getting worse, but we have to keep on. Keep moving forward. So,
all right.
Amen.
Just want to let you guys know.
Thanks, Carlos.
And we support you guys.
Appreciate it. We'll see you next weekend for Mass.
Yeah.
And everybody else, come on down. We got room. All right.
Thank you.
Terry,
bless you.
Go ahead, Jess.
I don't know. We'll get through the rest of it, but you got to get this article. Go on our show page, bnpr.org or jesseromero.com. The article's called "Catholics, They Are Not Coming Back Unless." So we... Because there's other sections called the crisis of authority, another section called the grave mistake of televised Mass, another section called restrictions on attending Mass leads to impossible burdens, and another one, a time to stress better music, preaching, and lay evangelization. Terry, do we got another call?
Yeah, Jesse, we didn't get time for our commercial. I guess some kind of a breakdown, so we're just going to take the next person on the line. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What is your name and your comment?
Hey, this is Kenny from Florida.
Kenny! I love Kenny. God bless you, Kenny. You always have insight. What's going on out there in Florida, brother?
Oh, nothing. We haven't even noticed there's a virus here. Don't tell anybody that.
I'll mention that.
But
well, you guys got a good governor, that's why.
Kenny, did we lose you?
Yeah, I can't hear Kenny.
Yeah, we lost him. Call back, Kenny. Oh, he's still here. Go ahead, Kenny.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Kenny.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. What's on your mind?
the big thing that I want to tell you in the midst of all of this, when I see what's going on, even at some of the local churches and stuff here, if we had a fraction of the faith that we have in this virus for God and our Catholic faith,
amen,
our churches would be filled.
Well, would you repeat that, Kenny? That's profound. Say it one more time.
If we had a fraction of the faith that they're showing for this virus,
yep,
and God himself, it would be a totally different world.
Well said.
Because they're showing total and complete faith in this virus and no faith in God to handle it.
Amen. That's the essence. That's
you nailed
essence
it.
Of what, that's the essence of this article. You just said it, Kenny.
And, yep. So that's all I had to say.
Thanks, Kenny, for calling.
Partner. Thank you.
Yep.
Terry, this is the meat of the article, A Crisis of Authority. It says the bishops have produced a crisis of authority.
Yeah, I like what he said there.
They didn't mean to, but they did it anyway.
Exactly.
Some may remember back in the 60s when the bishop relieved us of the law of fasting and abstinence from meat on Friday. It was the lifting of the abstinence of meat that caused the crisis of authority, one from which we never recovered. Remember, 1 week, you could go to hell for deliberately eating steak on Friday.
Right.
And the next week, it was seen as a virtue. So the bishops back then were held in higher reverence, but the people weren't fooled. Authority or not, you can't go to hell 1 week for doing something that the next week holds as okay. And the late Reverend Andrew Grilley, who was a leftist, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He used to say that it was this decision, not the birth control, that convinced Catholics to turn their own personal consciousness and absolve themselves of actions they ordinarily would have let the church judge them for. I would say it's both, not just one.
Absolutely.
And it says, now the bishops have removed the serious sin attributing of missing Mass on Sunday. Of course they had to do that if they were not going to permit Masses to be held. One simply can't place an impossible burden on the people. But think about it. For the ordinary Catholic who will never study moral theology, a conundrum is caused. As soon as the churches are fully open, the bishops will restore the legal requirement that Catholics must go to Mass on Sunday. What normal Catholic is going to be impressed by that? Particularly since they have not been sinning for the past many months by not going to Mass. It might have helped if the bishops were holy, leadership-oriented, and shepherding, but they're not. That does not mean they're bad. Almost all of them are nice men and pious people, but they're not strong leaders or shepherds. They are managers who are trying their best to moderate a crisis, but their pronouncements have no moral force. Their reputations are in tatters for obvious reasons, and the majority of Mass-going Catholics are not going to pay any attention when they are told they must now go to Mass again, and to miss once again will place their souls in danger. Terry, share the televised Mass. This has also been a disaster.
Yeah. Before I do that, I just want to make a comment for everybody. The Monsignor Eric R. Barr is someone you want to read more on, and when you get the link, you'll be able to do just that. Also, Jesse, we're getting texts from our listeners in New York saying that the three churches there that he's at, you don't have to sign up to go to Mass, and it makes it quite simple. So there are pastors. I'm sure Father George Rettler out there does that also. But let's be honest. Why are people like in San Francisco having to sign a waiver that says you will not sue the church if you get the COVID-19 before you go in to pray? See, we're paranoid, I'm going to be honest with you, that somebody's going to sue the church because look what happened in the scandals in the church. And just Monsignor didn't bring it up, but there's also one other element that we've lost. The scandals in the church that have taken place with the sexual scandals, many people have lost their respect for the church, and we need to bring it back.
He kind of alludes to it.
Well, I just want to call it for what it is, because the bottom line is, when you've been moving priests around like here in Los Angeles, I'll be honest with you, Mike Cardinal should have been in jail.
Yeah.
And he didn't get there. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, Justin. Okay, so I'm not sure. Yeah. We missed a break, but that's okay. Go ahead, Jesse.
It says the grave mistake of televised Mass. Televised Mass,
yes,
is a helpful adjunct to attended Mass, not a replacement. History will show that one of the worst things we did was proliferate televised Masses during the pandemic period. It eased the mind of a minority of our Catholics and did not attract the millions of our Mass-deprived Catholics. Televised Masses developed for the elderly and the sick, but there was never a theology about them. They were primarily good for the sharing of the word of God, but did nothing about sharing his body and blood. Because no catechesis was given during the pandemic about these masses, many found them a suitable replacement. They will continue to find them a suitable substitute for attended mass when the pandemic is over. The television mass has destroyed the sacramental nature of our faith and of the Eucharist. Already, dogma-deprived Catholics had a poor understanding of the nature of the Eucharist, but now, by a simple action of trying to fill in a gap, they have been taught passively, I admit, that TV mass is as good as attended mass. We didn't mean to do that. We thought we were doing the right thing. However, we wouldn't have killed the true understanding of the Eucharist better if we had hired the Eucharistic heretics of ages past to come back and preach to us. I actually lost a priest friend, says this priest, Father Munster Barr. I actually lost a priest friend because I wouldn't let him post his TV mass from his parish on my Facebook page.
Right.
I had grave reasons to not do a TV mass for those who wanted it, and I wasn't going to contribute to a diminution, that means less, of our understanding of the Eucharist. It was a gut feeling that I had only begun to articulate. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. We've got someone on the line, but also I'm getting lots of texts. They said, question, how can you, could you please explain what a devout Catholic is? You know what a devout Catholic is? Someone who believes in the perennial teachings of the church and does its best to live a sacramental life. All right, we've got a call. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We got a few minutes before we go off. Hello, my friend. What is your name? Go ahead. What is your name and your comment? Hello?
Call ended.
Oh, all ended. Okay. So, Jesse, these restrictions.
Go ahead.
Are you there, my friend?
Yeah, go, Terry.
Okay. Restrictions on attending Mass lead to impossible burdens, he talks about. As we have opened back up, he says, we have made it harder to attend the Mass if we even get a reservation. First of all, people need reservations. Second, they have to have a mask on. Third, they have to sit apart from the people. Fourth, they are sterilized after they leave. And if they were in a germ, in an ecclesiastical, like a petri dish. Fifth, he says, because we have to empower volunteers to keep attendance, contact, trace, lead people to their seats. Just what Jesse was saying. It's brutal. What are they doing to us? What are they doing? They're making it difficult. And I almost seem like, Jesse, it's like self-inflicted wounds on the Catholic Church. And we are putting it all on ourselves. Let's wake up and realize the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah, it's like a cop shooting himself in the foot, you know.
Yeah,
as he's
what's
trying
that about?
To, as he's pulling his gun out. Terry, it says here, it is so easy for volunteers who may be frustrated grade school hall monitors to become little dictators at the Mass regarding to access to the sacraments. So much for community, joking a little here, but it makes it uncomfortable for the lady. And now he says, now, this is a bleak assessment, but I assure you the majority of Mass-going Catholics are not going to come back unless we do something, and it's up to the bishops to do it. This priest says, I know I get on their case, like I said, they are good men, but to my knowledge, very few, if any, have developed the catechesis necessary to bring the fruitful back to Mass. They just presume the crowds will return. Not a chance.
Nope.
We live in a society that says the activity that screams the loudest
will
be the one people respond to.
That's right, Jess.
And the people have found that many things vie for their time. We've been remarkably silent, often rolling it over like a whipped dog to the secular authorities, allowing us to tell us what to do. Terry?
The big lie that is that we can live without God. That's the lie that even members of our church are saying, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. See, Jesse, here...
Terry, can you imagine being a successor of the apostles and standing on the throne of Christ, and our Lord says to the successor, says, so did you teach in your diocese that the Mass was not essential? Did you put your faith more in a virus than in the Eucharist? Can you imagine being a bishop at that moment, Terry, the trembling that's going to occur as they're being judged? Terry, that's a grave sin, Terry. That's huge. These are the successors of the apostles. I can't imagine St. Paul or St. Peter saying, you know what, You know, we can't gather together and pray for the Eucharist because, you know, we've got the bubonic plague or we've got the, you know, whatever other plague. I just don't see that happening, Terry, in times past.
Difficulties, but bear with us. Jesse, you nailed it. And I continue to say this. We can be quiet about this, but we can't. You know why? Because not to oppose error. And Jesse, it is error not to allow people to go to Mass. Okay, that's as simple as that. Not to oppose error is to approve it. And not to defend this truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do so is no less a sin than to encourage them. I really believe that what's going on in our country is diabolical. It's from the devil.
Amen.
And let's just be honest with it, Jess. So what do? Do we sit back and say, oh, well, there you go. Well, on Thursday, Dr. Ed Mazza, history guy, he's going to talk about, is America living out its own French Revolution? And think about the French Revolution going where we threw God out in the French Revolution. Our roots from what's going on right now, Jess, go right back to the Revolution. And Dr. Ed is going to share that with us. And then tomorrow, Bishop Joseph Strickland, Bishop of Tyler, Texas, he's coming on to talk about the Holy Eucharist. And boy, Jesse, he's going to say things that you just said today. He's going to repeat, except there's a difference, Jess. He's the successor of the apostle.
That's right. And he's one of the best guys that we have in the country right now.
Yep.
And Terry, you know what? Just for everybody as Catholics, again, just a baseball, a football, a sports analogy.
Yeah.
You know, right now is not a time to shrink back from your duty,
your
state in life.
No.
And what's our state in life? Let's just make it very simple. Our state in life as Catholic men, Catholic women, is number one, to be holy.
Amen.
That's what God calls us to. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, this is the will of God, your holiness. And what does God want from holy people? He wants us to evangelize.
Okay?
Matthew 28:19. This is the time right now to wake up other Catholics, wake up America. Don't hit the snooze button, because I'm not worried about global warming. I'm worried about hell warming.
Exactly.
I'm worried about Jesus warming. Jesus is coming one day, okay? Or you're going to die. Every one of us, 100% of us, we're going to die before he comes. And that's going to be your particular judgment. Make sure that before you drop dead, you leave it all out in the field.
And remember the 5 stones of King David. You want to get to confession. We have them here at our chapel. But get to confession at least once a month. You want to do Eucharistic adoration. Our chapel's open. Come on down if you're in Southern Cal. Find a church where you can pray before the Blessed Sacrament. 3, read your Bible every day. We do that every day here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Also, do an examination of conscience at night. Make sure that you're living in the presence of God. The other thing that I want to encourage you to do is get to, Eucharistic adoration. Which one am I missing, Jess?
Pray the rosary every day.
Why is the rosary important? Because Our Lady of Fatima said it. More souls are going to hell because there are no one there to pray for. So
read your Bible every day.
Oh, yeah, read that like we do here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Read the Bible every day.
And I want to also encourage you to encourage others to listen to the Terry and Jesse Show, whether it's on our app or whether it's on YouTube or Facebook or on Catholic radio stations, because we are growing. Why? Because people need common sense right now, and common sense isn't that common. I want to thank you for all of the people who have been supporting us at Virgin Most Powerful as our third year goes on. And if you'd like to be a monthly donor, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call me on my cell or ask me a question. 661-972-7872. That's 661-972-7872. Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in the state of mortal sin, even for a second.
Exactly.
And remember, leave it all out in the field before you drop dead.
Dr. Ed Mazza is up next on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.